on Flying Saucers. Hello again, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. I am Murray. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. One of the most common shapes for a starship is the disc or the flying saucer, if not the most common, only competing for first place with the hollowed-out metallic asteroid, or space rock, retrofitted with a starship interior, cockpit in the front, and engines behind, which gives it excellent camouflage by the way, and which is mostly used by emerging interstellar cultures, which are venturing out to deep space for the first time. They probably think that looking like a rock is a good way to hide from aggressors, but in reality, any highly advanced race can detect which object is a rock and which other is a starship right away, because of its magnetic and energy consumption signature. On Earth, flying saucers are the first starship shape that comes into mind when the word extraterrestrial comes up, and in most cases, it is the only shape they can think of. The advent of modern science fiction, especially in the cinema, has done a great disservice to humanity by guiding minds into thinking everything there is only empty science fiction. The stories are, yes of course, yet the circumstances are real, like life in space in general, for example in the popular Star Wars and Star Trek sagas, among countless others, but those two being the biggest. In space, and in reality, everyone uses those discoidal crafts, and they come in all sizes and shapes, and they are as common as a Chinese scooter in third world countries. They are everywhere. And they are also everywhere in pop culture on Earth as well, even more so as they are the easiest to falsify and to fake, as all you need is to stick two disposable plastic platters together and hang them from a little string. Then they take some photos, and there you have it, a very convincing UFO sighting. It was only after the advent of Photoshop and digital manipulation in general that other shapes started to be seen in mass on Earth. There were other non-discoidal shaped sightings before, I know, yet not as many as nowadays. An easy way to know fast if a flying saucer video clip is a fake is by seeing how the thing dangles nervously and with no logic, and in some cases, you can even calculate its movement to notice it is a pendulum, meaning it is hanging from a little string. So-called experts justify that nervous and illogical movement by saying that their magnetic engines and their fluctuations in Earth's atmosphere and gravity caused the craft's instability. Which from my point of view is utter nonsense, as all craft which works with anti-gravity tend to be amazingly stable. Remember that when watching video clips of UFOs. For most UFO researchers, and for all the people who follow them, a flying saucer looks like it is the most advanced type of craft they can think of, at least from the point of view of material, nuts and bolts crafts, not including what other people catalogue as plasma spacecraft. I mean, I can understand that from the point of view of the average person on Earth, a metallic ship that flies around making no noise, with no tailpipe, and can maneuver at incredible speeds, can be easily seen as the most advanced thing that can exist. They all tend to separate flying discs with plasma craft, those which glow in the sky in various shapes, with an etheric craft, which are not entirely in their reality, when in reality it is only different energetic states coming from the same ship. All ships which use high-energy electromagnetism as the base to generate anti-gravity tend to superheat the atmosphere around them to the point where it becomes red-hot plasma, causing the telltale glow, everyone knows, but it does not mean that the entire ship is made of plasma, rather it is covered with it. The strength, brightness, and color of the plasma that surrounds a ship depends on local atmospheric circumstances, and on the power and frequency output of the engines which are generating it, and this phenomenon does not always occur. I must state that it tends to be nothing more than an annoyance for the people in the craft, as it is giving away their presence, and it is nothing more than an unwanted side effect of flying such crafts inside Earth's atmosphere, or that of any other planet. It is like a contrail for aircraft, which makes it a lot more visible. Although there are countless variants of discoidal-shaped starships, and some are more advanced than others, they all work with the same principles. They are all platter-shaped craft with one or more engines, usually shaped as spheres, which can sometimes be seen underneath the craft, although more commonly they are internal, and not visible from below. Those spherical engines usually consist of several counter-rotating internal spheres, placed like layers of an onion, and where high voltage is injected into them to produce a strong electromagnetic effect. Some variants include the use of enriched mercury, which is spun inside several of those rotating spheres to produce the needed electromagnetic effect. The engines generate a high electromagnetic energy flow cocoon, shaped like a toroid, and that envelops the entire craft. At the center of the disc, from top to bottom, there usually is a superconducting rod, which collects and distributes the electromagnetic flow back into the engines, to close the magnetic circuit. This is where the shape itself of the craft comes in, as it is the second best shape for distributing the electromagnetic energy produced by its engines, in a uniform way all around the craft, so the effects of the engines are evenly distributed. It is only second after the sphere. As explained in my videos about stellar navigation, the map of the star systems, constellations, galaxies, and so on, is kept inside the ship's computer, and it is represented by energy and frequency numerical values of mass and gravity, where this last is what generates the mass. So, to jump from one location to another, all the ship must do is equal its frequency and vibration index to its destination, causing the ship to stop existing in one place, and start to exist in the other. This means that from the point of view of the observer, the ship does not travel, it only jumps from one place to the next, through the ether, as it is said, so this is where the name, jump ship, or bean ship, comes from. When the ship needs to move slowly, as it usually does while in atmospheric flight, all the ship needs to do is alter the frequency generated by its engines in the front and rear parts of the ship to create a downhill effect, so the ship would effectively be falling in the direction the pilots want it to go, where the amount of power given to that effect will determine the vector and velocity of the fall. This falling effect does not have the same strength associated with a free fall on Earth, because the engines can modulate the effect's strength to the point where it can be very strong and even violent, to the point where it becomes propulsion, allowing the craft to move and maneuver extremely fast. This to the point where it could kill its pilots from excessive G, or gravity forces, if the craft didn't have inertia dampeners, which cancel this effect, as just about any other non-human spacecraft has, and nowadays even some highly advanced human-made craft also incorporate, from retro-engineered, captured alien spacecraft. Flying saucers come in all sizes, from the smallest one-pilot discs that fit in a one-car garage, to the extremely massive interstellar motherships many star races use, for example, the larger Victor C, and Victor D, Centauri Alpharton heavy cruisers. Each star race will design and build their craft, including the flying saucer types, to their needs and at the best capacity of their science, but in general, the most common discoidal craft will be the ones from 7-meter to 20-meter diameter discs, countless use, so this means that it is useless to make some kind of catalogue, with the shapes of each flying saucer, to try to identify to which race it belongs to, as just about everyone uses the same. All these crafts work with one engine system, except for the larger variants, making this configuration vulnerable to countermeasures and to hostilities. In the last 80 years or so, Earth governments have been able to shoot down an unidentified number of discoidal and other crafts, which use the same engine principle, because they can be vulnerable to high-energy radar pulses beamed at them. These microwave pulses can blind the navigation computer sensors, so it can no longer calculate the frequency of the gravity in the area it is flying through, causing it not to be able to cancel it effectively, causing a crash. Other larger starships, such as the ones classified as fighter craft of any race, have multiple types of propulsion, or at least two of them, where if one fails, the other type kicks in, if it was not already functioning at the same time as the first, anyway, making them invulnerable to that kind of attack. Even though Earth governments are under Galactic Federation control, at a lower practical level they still end up attacking Federation craft, and this is another indicator of how messy, shady, and permissive the Federation can be. Flying saucers, in general, and talking about the smaller ones, are far from being the most advanced craft, even though they may look like they are, as they do not have a visible tailpipe. But even on a more practical level, their shape is very uncomfortable to use, they take up a lot of space in the hangars, and even inside them, there isn't much usable space, causing them to be very impractical, especially for cargo uses. More advanced craft no longer need the discoidal shape to distribute electromagnetic flow in an even way, as their engines are strong enough to envelop the craft in the needed electromagnetic toroid, regardless of the shape of the ship. This allows the engineers to design each vessel as best as possible, and taking into account what it will be used for, rather than thinking about distributing power in an even way. So effectively, starships that look like the ones in science fiction are in general more advanced than the saucer type, even though they may have a tailpipe, characterized by having a white, electric blue, or even red exhaust glow. There is a common idea in the web that action-reaction engines are obsolete in space. They are not, and they are actually far more advanced than gravity-canceling ones alone, because they can do that as well, among other things. It is also commonly thought in many circles that action-reaction engines do not work in a vacuum, supposedly because there is nothing to push against, yet space is not a vacuum as they think on Earth. As I've said so many times before, it is an etheric fluid in a high vibratory state. So a starcraft only needs to propel its electromagnetic plasma, as a jet, within the correct frequency range of the so-called waters above, to produce thrust. Yet to the best of my knowledge, action and reaction does work in a vacuum anyway. This will be all for today. Thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love, your friend, Marie Soirou.